This is, if you gaze into the abyss, it will flirt back. Written by Raven of Hyde Castle. Read by Mistborn Hero. A Batman podfic. Rated for teen and up audiences. Featuring Bruce Wayne's attempts at relationships with Selina Kyle and Talia al Ghul. With the supporting cast of Dick Grayson and Alfred Pennyworth. It is tagged for Eldritch Horror Batman, Eldritch Horror Alfred, shapeshifting, inhuman characters, bat blob, fluff and crack and angst, dysfunctional family. Dick is a ray of sunshine and a menace. Bruce Wayne is Brucey Wayne and a disaster, and he needs a hug. Selina has issues. Human-monster romance. Dating fails. Attempted kidnapping. Crushes. Manipulation. Secrets. Protective Dick. He'll defend his father's honor to the death, but not his death. Overprotective Dick. I kid you not, the kid is feral. The incident. Dick loves soap operas. Complicated relationships. Bruce feels pretty good about his life. He has a face, a job, and a kid. What more could an Eldritch personification of vengeance want? Lots, according to Dick, starting with a girlfriend. Chapter 1. Chasing Tail. Adjusting to life as a human was odd. Bruce had a feeling he was messing up quite a bit. But of course, that was Alfred's fault. All of this was. The butler was the one who decided to make Bruce Wayne legally alive again, even though Bruce was barely existent in the first place. If the caregiver had done anything else, they wouldn't be in this mess.
As I must remind you, Master Bruce, the butler said before dinner one night, flawlessly interpreting Bruce's grunts for the complaints they were. There is always a price attached to my powers. I could hardly magic an exorbitant fortune into existence without raising some federal eyebrows. Besides, this is quite the adventure. I rather like how it turned out.
Bruce frowned deeper, causing every shadow in the manor to darken. He did not like how things were going. Lucius Fox was a wonderful man, and very gracious about Bruce taking the company over with no notice, tact, or training. But he wasn't patient, and there was far too much paperwork to be worth the job. What did CEOs even do? Bruce doubted he would ever have a clear idea, even though he was one now. The only silver lining was that Dick loved Gotham Academy. He was learning to play hot cross buns on the flute. He wasn't allowed to play the trumpet until next year, making friends with everything that moved, and was, if possible, radiating even more sunshine than before. That made everything, even the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, worth it. Still, there were a lot of gaps in Bruce's human education. He needed to figure them out pronto, if only so when the parent-teacher conferences happened in April, Dick wouldn't be laughed at by his classmates. From what Bruce understood, that was the worst thing to happen to a kid in the history of ever. At least according to Dick. Thank God for television. Without it, Bruce would be screwed. Bruce was just starting to feel confident about his new sparkly personality when he was thrown for a loop. As always, it was by his son, or guard, technically. But Bruce didn't pay attention to technicalities. He was Batman. Ignoring the law was his forte. Dick was his. End of discussion. Dick was also a menace. Driving him to school was a Herculean task that involved sunscreen, sunglasses, and much suffering. Even with Gotham's perpetual smog, Bruce wasn't meant to be out during the day. Even so, he wouldn't trade his morning commute for the world. Although, Dick's squirrelness was, as always, a bit much so early in the day.
Bee!
Dick said from the back seat, smacking the driver's seat with the rolled-up newspaper. People are calling you a prince! Bruce said, intrigued. It's so cool and awesome and romantic, Dick said. He shimmied out of his seatbelt and crawled into the passenger seat, then plastered the paper against the windshield. See? Bruce was grateful his shadows functioned as extra eyes, or he would have crashed into a tree. He cast part of his focus onto the front page, but otherwise kept driving as normal. He was finally figuring out traffic laws. The Gotham Gazette had a full-page spread of Bruce, which said, Prince of Gotham, Bruce Wayne, named most eligible bachelor in town. That's cute, chum, Bruce said. You're getting good at reading. I'm practicing so I can read bad guys their rights, Dick said proudly. Mrs. Perkins says I am a natural. She taught me how to spell Velociraptor. It's B-E-L. Bruce listened attentively to Dick go over every dinosaur he knew until the boy gasped dramatically. I got distracted, Dick said, slapping his face with a sticky hand. Bee, the papers are wrong. You're not a prince.
No, I am Batman,
Bruce said. By night, he was a creature of terror, sheathed in darkness, swearing to avenge the wronged. By day, a mild-mannered billionaire. It was a flawless double life. You are dumb. Dick flopped onto the floor of the car. You don't see my vision.
Vision? Bruce said,
lips twitching upwards. He loved smiling. It was nice. Dick gave him so many opportunities to do it. That's what Vanessa says to the teacher during art time, Dick says, crawling back into the back seat. Seatbelts were another thing that Bruce was still figuring out. Were they supposed to wear them the entire time they were in the car? She was drawing a duck, but it looked like a grape.
I see.
Bruce did not see. Anyway, Dick said, pulling a half-eaten lollipop out of his pocket. It was covered in lint. You can't be a prince until you have a princess. Otherwise, it doesn't count.
Well, we can't have that, Bruce said, deadpan. Everybody wants to be a prince.
It's the coolest job, Dick agreed, the sarcasm going over his head. So, you have to find a special lady bee. That way, you can be a real Prince Charming.
All right, since I have to.
Far be it for Bruce to deny his Robin anything. And hey, it could be fun.
How will I know who the right princess is?
So far, Bruce and Alfred had been taking their cues from Mr. Rogers' TV show Dick Loved, and were cobbling together a fairly convincing human act. But it was touch and go. Bruce could spot an affair at 100 paces when he was working a case, but he didn't know how to start a relationship. Crime and healthy marriages didn't mix. Dick tapped his chin and hummed. She has to be, like, pretty, like in the Barbie movies, and super smart, like she has to be able to win the spelling bee. Oh, and count super high, like to 1,000.
That's very high,
Bruce said as he turned into the school drive. Gotham Academy's gloomy, gothic structure came into view, and Bruce felt himself relax at this welcoming architecture. There were so many crannies to hide in. It was perfect.
Can you count to 1,000?
Yeah, 'cause I'm Robin, Dick said, puffing with pride. I can count to 1,000,000. Bruce made a suitably impressed grunt as he pulled into the drop-off lane. You have to make sure your princess is up to sniff, Bee, Dick said as he hauled his backpack out of the backseat. It's important for the mission.
I'll do my best,
Bruce said wryly.
Maybe you can help me, since it seems you've already found yours.
Dick cocked his head like a bird.
I'm pretty sure the commissioner's daughter can count to 1,000, Bruce said, and won her great spelling bee. Dick squawked.
Bee! No! Bub's just a friend! You're gross! He slammed the door shut and scrambled away, cheeks cherry red.
Bruce drove back to the manor, shaking his head in amusement. Barbara Gordon was 2 grades ahead of Dick, but they had lunch at the same time. Bruce had been hearing about how pretty and smart and awesome she was all month. It was only fair he teased Dick, since he had a feeling that all of Dick's princess criteria revolved around her. Still, a princess. Bruce took a turn sharper than expected, too lost in his thoughts to care about the collision he almost caused. He had been alone for most of his existence before Alfred found him. The butler needed someone to care for, and Bruce had fit the bill. Now it was impossible to untangle themselves from the strange, wordless bond they had. But despite it, Bruce still felt solitary, alone. Perhaps it wouldn't be so bad to fill the void. After all, a Robin had already made his nights less lonely. A princess's company would be just as wonderful. But where on earth am I going to find one of those?
The Dark Knight muttered. Then he remembered he was Bruce Wayne now. There were bound to be a few of them at the next gala. Well, that was as good a place to start as any. Bruce discovered he liked being romantic, just like he liked being pretty. Both were concepts polar opposite to his nature, so at first, trying them on felt like slipping on an ill-fitting glove. But with Alfred and Dick's help, he was tailoring it into something form-fitting and practiced. Their advice, of course, varied drastically. Dick wanted Bruce to challenge people to duels, smudge ladies' hands, and be dashing. Alfred, meanwhile, was much more practical and reminded Bruce he had to finish conversations rather than wandering off partway through.
And smile, dear boy, the butler said. For goodness sake, that makes all the difference.
Those, it turned out, were the truest words ever spoken. At galas, Bruce Wayne was more popular than God in a cathedral. The combination of his grin and net worth made him irresistible. Pretty soon, the problem was an overabundance of paramours, and Bruce wasn't sure how to narrow them down. How was he supposed to find the right person? Everyone blurred together, and although Bruce enjoyed leaning into his new, bubbly personality, he was at a loss for what he was actually supposed to feel about all of this. It's a bzzz feeling in your heart, Dick said the night of another gala Bruce was planning to attend. Like, you swallowed a bee, but fuzzy, too. A bumblebee.
Bumblebee,
Alfred corrected absently. Dick harumphed and went back to coloring. He had 20 minutes before bedtime and clearly didn't want to waste them. "I'll keep that in mind, chum," Bruce said as he finished tying his Windsor knot. It was tight on his neck, like a noose. An odd fashion statement, in his opinion. He left the manor once Dick was in bed, and forced himself to drive to the event instead of moving through the shadows. He wanted his human life to be truly convincing, even if Gotham hissed under his skin for him to return to it. There was an upsurge of crimes, and the hearts of the victims were nursing vendettas. Batman was their crusader, but sometimes their screams for justice made him forget he was also Bruce. Balancing both was a tricky business. Gotham's siren song was very bossy. Perhaps that was who he was in love with? Bruce grimaced, and the power went out in a store he drove past. Definitely not. Perhaps he just didn't have those emotions. He hadn't had kindness either, although he had grown the capacity to contain it when Dick had arrived. Romantic inclinations were no doubt the same. He parked and eyed the glittering venue with new reluctance. He didn't want to socialize anymore, but if he went home, Alfred would judge him. Blast it. However, it was a good thing he went in, because within an hour, Bruce's pessimism was proven wrong. He bumped into someone and nearly spilled his champagne. He saved the drink, but not his first impression. "Pardon me, miss," he said. "I'm afraid I've had a bit too much to..." He looked up and words failed him. He was still learning what people found pretty, but he would swear this woman was the most beautiful person he had seen. "I'll say, you're taking the word tipsy quite literally," the woman smirked, adjusting her stance to show off her broad shoulders and diamond earrings. A velvet dress hugged her silhouette, sculpted to her like a second skin, and made her dark eyes pop like stars stolen from the night sky. Bruce sensed a vindictive, playful personality under her skin that balanced the need for fairness with retribution. Something buzzed in Bruce's chest, like a fuzzy bumblebee. "What's that? Cat got your tongue?" the woman practically purred. "Did I call you that?" Bruce said, collecting himself. "Pardon me again. I would have used a much politer word. Angel, perhaps." Although that implied light and halos, of which this woman had neither, she was a mystery wrapped in the shadows of secrets. Bruce was a fan.
Flatterer, she said, extending a jeweled hand. Selina Kyle.
He shook it. Bruce Wayne.
I gathered that, Selina said. You've been the talk of the town for months.
She had also gathered his Rolex, but Bruce wasn't going to comment on it. He didn't have much use for watches anyway.
Nothing can save a first impression, I suppose. But can I make it up to you? He asked. They are fresh out of white wine, but I hear the rosé is to die for.
Well, I'm sure there are worse ways to spend my evening, she replied, eyes on his emerald tie pin.
By the time they had moved to the balcony with their new drinks, Bruce had lost it and both his cufflinks. He suspected his wallet would be soon to follow.
So, what does Brucey Wayne want with me? Selina asked, running her finger over the rim of her cup. I'm flattered by the attention, but I'm not the usual tail you chase.
Not a model, you mean? Bruce said. I hadn't realized I was getting a reputation for them, but I suppose that makes sense. Dick loves meeting them.
Your son? She said. Bruce nodded, his smile growing wider.
He thinks they are princesses.
He pulled out his phone and showed Selina a photo of Dick jumping up and down in front of a supermodel Bruce had met at a fundraiser. Her name had been Belle, and Dick still believed she was the inspiration for the Disney movie. He had her autograph and everything. Selina cooed at the picture, then coughed like she hadn't meant to do that. Bruce understood. He had the same reaction when he looked down and realized he had kidnapped the boy from the crime scenes of his parents' murder and taken him straight to the Batcave. Dick had that effect on people.
So you're dating every model in Gotham because your boy likes them, Selina said, subtly swiping an earring of a passing woman.
Worse than that,
Bruce said, putting a hand to his chest.
My son wants me to find a lovely lady to settle down with.
Really? Selina looked amused.
He is insistent, Bruce said, but he's got a list a mile long of requirements she has to meet, and nobody's been up to snuff.
Selina leaned against the railing, a smirk covering her face. I didn't know kids were so hard to please. What are these Herculean tasks he's given your poor dates?
Well,
Bruce looked around and used an exaggerated stage whisper.
She has to be good at spelling and count to 1,000. I am told this is a deal-breaker.
Selina snorted into her drink and quickly put it down. Those are high standards for this crowd.
Bruce's chest did something fluttery, like it was full of liquid sunshine.
Selina had a nice smile and a funny laugh. It bubbled out of her like water from a fountain.
I won't give up the search, Bruce said with a wink. I'm sure someone who matches that profile will pop up. How about you, Miss Kyle? Are you in the market for anything?
You could say that, she said. I have an eye for oddities. Let's say, I am drawn to them.
Anything here catch your eye? Bruce asked.
Selina's face lingered on his lips,
before she picked her drink again.
Maybe. Tell me more about your kids. The papers each have a different story, but I want to know what really happened.
Bruce's eyes crinkled from the force of his grin. Chatting about Dick was something he could do all night. When Bruce got home several hours later, he asked Alfred to mark the calendar for a date in a couple of weeks.
Find another poor soul to practice your deplorable wooing techniques on?
Alfred said. Yes, Bruce said happily. She is perfect.
Oh, do tell.
Bruce wanted to, but first he had to ask for Alfred to create a new wallet for him. Selena had stolen his, along with his phone. He and Selena went on 7 dates, and Bruce enjoyed all of them. Selena had the quick, sly wit of someone used to being underestimated. It was paired with a calculated ambivalence that kept others at arm's length. Only, she couldn't seem to manage that with Bruce. After a trip to an art museum, a jaunt through Robinson Park, and several afternoons idling away time in Barry's cafes, she lost her veneer of sophistication around him. Their 5th date was to a cat shelter, the 6th, a library painting class, and on the 7th, she came to the manor and met Dick.
Are you sure she's a princess?
Dick whispered into Bruce's ears after introductions were made.
She doesn't have a crown.
Well, she's no Barbara Gordon, Bruce said. But I think so. Dick squawked and ran away, probably to hide the Valentine's Day card he had been making for his crush all afternoon. Bruce chuckled and looked over to where Selena was talking with Alfred about different tea leaves, the butler's latest obsession. She had worn a loose t-shirt and running shoes tonight. Bruce had watched enough period pieces to know it was normal to dress up for meeting family, but Selena was the opposite. She wouldn't have worn something so casual unless she felt comfortable here, even with the deep shadows and unnatural chill in the Wayne Manor. It was nice seeing her with Bruce's family, framed by the setting sun as it glinted off her hoop earrings. She fit in here. Hopefully, she would stay a while. Maybe forever. Bruce would have liked that very much. But they only went on 7 dates. There was never an 8th. Selena told him to meet him outside an Italian restaurant. She was working late, but she would be there eventually. Bruce was a timeless creature, so he didn't mind waiting. The air grew cold. People's breaths froze as they exhaled, causing Bruce to remember to make his own do the same. Night fell slowly, with frost encroaching with a growl. Street lights turned on, flickering and sputtering above him. Someone from the restaurant asked if he wanted to come in. Bruce said no. He was waiting for Selena. Suit yourself, the employee said, then vanished inside. The shadows lengthened, and his presence made them deeper, darker, until the streetlights suffocated under him. It occurred to Bruce that he should have asked how long someone was supposed to wait in situations like this, but he hadn't, and Selena was bound to turn up eventually. She didn't. Bruce waited the whole night, but Selena never showed. Confusion soon grew into worry, then panic, as dawn broke through the smog. Bruce let himself melt into the gritty unreality of Gotham's essence to look for her. He berated himself for not doing so sooner, but he had been trying to be more Bruce around Selina. Just Bruce, actually, appearing as an ordinary man, played with his head, and sometimes he forgot to use his powers. He would have to fix that. It was sloppy. He stretched himself into every crevice of the city, letting his eyes peer into the cracks and corners of its underbelly as he looked for Selina's signature grin. He found her in 10 minutes. Worry that something had happened to her was put to rest. She was at home, unharmed and untouched by anything evil, as she started her morning routine. Batman, Bruce, whichever one he was currently, tilted a head that wasn't there in confusion. She was fine, which meant she had just forgotten about him. Bruce wasn't sure how that was supposed to make him feel, so he decided to think nothing of it. He went home, roused Dick out of his mountain of fuzzy blankets for school, and put the incident behind him. It was an honest mistake. It had to be. But when he and Selina rescheduled, she still didn't come. Nor the next time, nor the next. When they met at Gala's, she pretended nothing was wrong. Bruce was confused and hurt, but mostly confused.
"You're not allowed to see Selina anymore," Dick said at breakfast, after the 5th time Selina had been a no-show. Bruce looked up from his newspaper where he had been cutting out an interview of him and Dick at Wayne Enterprises' latest charity event.
"Why?"
"She's not a good princess for you," Dick said, crossing his arms.
"But I like her," Bruce said.
"She jilted you," Dick said, "like Miss Montgomery did to Alonso, and then, when he was still sad, she married the dentist."
Bruce put down the paper. "Dick, have you been watching daytime television again?"
Dick stuffed his mouth with toast. "I'm watching soap. It is teaching me how to be clean. Just like a clean hair clock the next time I see her."
Bruce looked questioningly at Alfred, who shrugged. "Well, okay," Bruce said. Television wasn't his forte. Too many bright lights and screens. The Batcomputer was all he could handle, and it had been made out of Gotham's essence. "Hygiene is important."
"I don't like hygienes. They give me wedgies," Dick said, mashing up his eggs. "But I mean it, Bee. You need a princess who treats you right. But Selina is bad. We gotta take her off the island."
Kids these days, their slang might as well have been Greek to Bruce. No, scratch that. He could speak Greek. Whatever Dick was talking about might as well have been Martian.
"I'll keep that in mind," Bruce said. "Now, stop playing with your food."
Clean her clock was not a promise. It was a threat. Bruce made the mistake of bringing Dick to a family fun day event that was raising money for elephant sanctuaries and forgot Selina was also in attendance. As soon as his son locked eyes with Mrs. Kyle, Dick let out a wartime shriek and ran at her, fingers splayed like claws. Bruce barely grabbed him before Dick could stomp on her foot, or worse, gouge out her eyes. "You're evil! Evil!"
Dick yelled at Selena, wriggling like an eel. The enemy of love! I hope you get wrinkles on your butt!
Apologies, Miss Kyle,
Bruce said, adjusting his grip on Dick. If he hadn't been an experienced Robin handler, there's no way he would have been able to hold on to the kid.
He's had too much sugar.
No worries, Mr. Wayne, she said, looking mostly amused. It happens to the best of us. She winked, and Bruce wanted to wink back, except Dick was still on the warpath, and it was hard to look sexy while stopping a 10-year-old from committing murder in a public space.
You're not allowed to be a princess ever again,
Dick continued to howl.
Stay away from B!
All right, if you insist, Selena said, as she sipped a fancy drink. I'm not one to be tied down, anyway.
Oh. Well. Bruce would need to process that later. Dick had just grabbed a passing waiter's tray and was throwing canapés at her. Bruce didn't even say goodbye. He just threw Dick over his shoulder, marched to the nearest water closet, and teleported home so Alfred could ground the kid.
Once the dust settled and Dick was sent to bed without dessert, Bruce could admit his son had had a point. Selena wasn't someone Bruce should keep seeing. Still, she was interesting and had a lilt in her soul that he found fascinating. He decided to give it one more shot and call her at midnight.
Did you mean what you said today?
He said, leaning on his balcony, like one of the protagonists in those soaps Dick liked so much.
When?
Selena said in amusement.
Before or after your baby tried to shiv me?
After,
Bruce said, unable to enjoy their usual banter.
Am I tying you down?
Beneath him, shadows flickered and writhed. At night, in the privacy of his manor, Bruce didn't need to control the trendiles that fanned out from him. They covered everything his presence touched, fusing him with the manor's essence. He felt Dick snuggling into his pillows 6 doors down, the bats waking up in the caverns far below, and Alfred's presence in the kitchens as he muttered obscenities at the recipe block he was trying to read. His shadows brushed against them in a promise to never leave. It wasn't a chain, just a reminder. Selena sighed into the receiver. Her breath crackled over the line.
Oh, Bruce, it's not you. Don't take it personally. I've loved our time together, but if I stay any longer, I won't be able to make myself leave.
What does that mean? Bruce said. Wasn't that the point of all of this?
She chuckled.
Nobody who hears Brucey Wayne expects anything serious to come out of a few dates, Mr. Wayne. I was hoping for a good time, maybe a funny story. But then you had to be perfect, and I kept coming back for more.
Bruce brushed his hair out of his face, nicking himself with a claw.
I think you're perfect too, Selena.
Mm-hmm,
Selena said.
I've been told that before, but I think you really mean it. That's nice.
Alfred misses you, Bruce said, quieter. Dick's got a grudge, but he could come around. You said you like oddities. We're all 20 strange. You've got a place here, if you would like.
Neither of them spoke for a minute. Bruce thought about he had stumbled onto Dick and suddenly found himself thrown into a world he had only ever observed. The isolation of his previous state had been shattered irrevocably, and he hadn't looked back. Perhaps Selena was experiencing the same thing. Not as dramatic as cultivating an entire personality, Bruce hoped, but a crossroads in what her life could be. He thought of her in his kitchen, smiling at Alfred while Dick tugged on her shirt, anxious to show her the picture he had drawn. Her earrings had glinted in the low light, bright gold against the dark. How lovely it would be for her to always be there.
"Thank you, sweetheart," she said, "but that life isn't for me. Perhaps there's a supermodel that can be your princess. I've got other dreams to chase."
She hung up, leaving Bruce to his darkness. He took a controlled breath, put the phone away, and told himself this was okay. Nothing to fuss over at all. In fact, he was fine. In the distance, Gotham's lights abruptly went out as a power outage hit. The darkness lasted a week. Bruce sulked long after the power outages were fixed. Officially, he was on a journey of self-discovery in the Swiss Alps. Unofficially, he was a primordial pool of sentient sadness in the Batcave, at the mercy of whatever science experiments Dick decided to try on his sludge. He pulled himself, literally, together at night for patrol, but was far more brutal than normal. Bruce blamed it on the hearts of the unavenged, being more petty than usual, and ignored his own feelings. Alfred side-eyed him when he let that observation slip, and Bruce had the feeling Gotham itself was also judging him, and was unimpressed. "I know you're sad because of Selena, so I got you sugar," Dick said, dumping a bucket of Easter candy onto the floor where Bruce was a puddle. "You gotta eat it, then we can find you a new princess."
"I don't want a new princess," Bruce muttered.
There, that was his daily word quota for the week. Alfred had better be happy. Dick rolled his eyes and threw the bucket onto the ground. "Yes, you do! The soaps always have a rewind, girlfriend, when things go wrong."
"Rebound?"
Alfred's voice echoed off the walls. He was upstairs, prepping dinner, but could perceive everything that happened in the manor.
"Penny, we are having a conversation. Leave us alone."
Dick yelled, then turned back to Bruce. "We'll show her. She wasn't good enough for you. I have a plan. Come on." He tried to tug Bruce up, but Bruce was, as mentioned, a puddle. After a moment, Dick growled and started shoving Bruce into the bucket with a mop.
"Stop being a cat liquid," Dick said, dragging the bucket towards the elevator. "I can't give you a makeover if you're goop."
Bruce tipped the bucket over and flopped back onto the floor.
No!
It took Dick another 20 minutes to poke Bruce into sentience. By then, Alfred had threatened to get involved if Batman didn't pull himself together. It seemed Bruce's mope days were over. Damn. After a stern dressing down from the butler, several pep talks from Dick, and a crime spike that forced him to care about his existence again, Bruce was back in action. The stink of Selena's brutal breakup started to fade, and Bruce thought that perhaps his son was right. It wouldn't hurt to put himself out there again.
and the idea of someone to share his life with still appealed to him. Unfortunately, nobody else stood out. Bruce didn't mesh well with most people. Their hearts were too lackluster to feed off of, and most of their grudges were petty instead of vengeful. Selena had been defied by tit for tat and fair play, but most people were not. Bruce felt like a cardboard cutout around them, pantomiming gestures and hoping they looked real enough. Dating was fun, but it quickly lost its shine. Dick said he just had to do his bestest, and that happily ever after suddenly came at the end of a story. So Bruce took that to heart. He didn't take any of his failed relationships personally. Frankly, he was amazed he could flirt at all. It wasn't a skill pivotal to the mission.
I don't think I'm going to find another Selena.
He confessed to Alfred one night, a couple of years after the breakup.
Maybe I'll be alone forever.
I dare say I don't mind there being only one of her to exist, Alfred said frostily. Like Dick, he nursed a grudge against a woman who saw their family and gave it a hard pass. However, you are far from alone, Master Bruce. Neither Master Dick nor myself are going anywhere.
Bruce said, comforted.
Alfred was right. He didn't need anybody else in his life. Sure, it would be nice, but this was nice, too. Perhaps this was a dream he should pack away and focus his energy elsewhere. Being a perpetual bachelor was hardly a bad thing. Famous last words, because when Dick was 13, at the tail end of summer, Bruce did meet someone. Her soul was a curved blade, elegant yet practical. She walked like the world was built in her image, and a blinding conviction echoed of the walls of her heart. Bruce saw her from across the room at a green energy gala and felt his world shift to include her in it. As soon as the opening speech was over, he made his way towards her, already smiling. It wasn't long before they were chatting, and Bruce felt something buzz deep inside himself, like a bumblebee starting to wake up. Talia al Ghul was something special. He wanted to find out everything about her and devour her whole. End of chapter 1.
Rest in peace, Selena. She has commitment issues. The idea of settling down with a weird himbo and his adorable adopted son, complete with a family butler, scared her off. Her loss.